We are in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Grab your Bible. When you have a Bible, if you need a Bible, rather, raise your hand. We'll get you a Bible. We have some extra ones in there. And when you have it, it's Romans 8, verse 18 is where we'll be taking our text from this morning. Romans 8, 18. Romans 8, 18, it says this. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8, 18 again. Paul saying, for I reckon that the sufferings, and he knew about sufferings, of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul is really instructing us to look at life through a longer lens. He repeats essentially this verse a number of times in the New Testament. Look at life from a longer lens. I think he would say to us today. And Father, we do ask, even this morning, as we take a look at what that means. We ask that we would be those that are not so caught up in the temporal, in the today, in the how is it going to serve me mentality. But that we would begin to look at things from a longer viewpoint. So instruct us individually and teach us what that means, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. A month ago, a little bit over that, after a Sunday service, we'd cleaned up here, put everything away. I had to do some shopping, so I headed into town and ran into somebody that fellowships here with us. And he began to share, and we talked kind of about the message, and he said, Matt, I got to ask you something. I've wanted to ask you this for a while. Something I don't understand. I don't know why this happened to me. I'm trying to figure it out. It doesn't make sense to me. And so I said, tell me. What are you talking about? And he said, a couple of weeks ago, a while back, I was driving to work, driving my pickup truck. And I saw this guy. His vehicle was broken down. He was on the side of the road. He was there. And as I was driving by, I really felt God saying, hey, you need to stop and help this guy. I've been working on cars since, you know, I was knee-high to a grasshopper. I've worked as a mechanic. I know a lot about cars. And so I felt, I should stop and help this guy. So I pulled over, and he had the hood up, and in just a couple minutes, we got the vehicle started, and, man, I felt good. Got back in my truck, and I'm driving, and I just feel really, wow, God used me. How wonderful that is to be a blessing to somebody, use the gifts and talents I have to help somebody else. And it just felt great. And he said, I came up to the stoplight there, right at 7th and M Street. And I'm just there humming and happy and excited about life when all of a sudden, bam, somebody slammed into the back of my pickup. My head bounces off the windshield. I'm just about knocked out. I'm disorientated. And I looked in my rearview mirror to see who had just slammed into me. And you guessed it. It was the guy I just helped fix his vehicle. Why? He said. Why would God do that to me? Why does stuff like that happen? The very person I helped now slams into the back of me. Why? Why do these things happen? When I get bumped in life, I can often feel that way. Why? Why did this occur today? I can become, I found in my life, very myopic. What does that mean? It means very, very short-sighted. When I get bumped on life, I can say, Lord, why did this happen to me today? What's the deal? You know, what's the purpose? I can look very short-sightedly at things. What's the deal? Why would this happen? Why was I bumped like this? I can begin to look very me-centeredness. Why has this happened to me? What's it? What's the purpose to this? Myopically. But after that conversation, I got back in my car and I started thinking on a little different line. And the reason I probably started thinking a little differently about the wise when we get bumped was because of a memorial service I had just done a couple days before that. It was, for me personally, the most impacting memorial service I've ever been involved in. It was a lady who is a saint. Wonderful woman. Her name, Vivian Velachos. Perhaps some of you know her. And I think the reason why this service was so impacting to me is because of the short history that we had together. We kind of bumped into each other a number of times. And I can remember she had a long struggle with cancer, about 5.5 years or so. And I can remember when I found out that her cancer was terminal, when there would be no more treatments, when the inevitable was going to happen. I can remember going over to visit her September 18th, 3:30. And I remember getting there to her house and standing in front of her house and just kind of stopping there under the weight of that situation, under the hardness of what I was going to have to go through, really, for me personally. I don't like stuff like that. That's not enjoyable to me. I'm a guy, maybe it's my DNA, maybe it's my experience, maybe it's human nature. I'm a guy that thrives on hope. I thrive on hope. I can take the hard time if I believe there's something coming. I can go through the valley if I believe there's a mountain there. I can go through the night if I believe there's going to be a sunrise tomorrow. If there's a purpose to it, a direction from it, I can go through that. That's why I love Psalm 78. It simply says, hey, tell people your testimony, how God has worked in your life so that then they'll put their hope in God. I love hearing how God came through and met me in the valley and this great thing happened. I thrive on hope. And to me, this situation was hopeless. And up to that point, Vivian, for me, had been this great beacon of hope. See, we had crossed paths a number of times. And every time I would talk to her, even though she was struggling with cancer, she would always have this rock-solid faith in Jesus Christ. She would always say to me, all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purposes. She believed it. She lived it out. I got a glimpse of that last spring when I got a call and I was told she was in the hospital, that she had this ulcer that had to have immediate surgery and be removed. And I just remember thinking, oh no. After 4 years, 4.5, well, 5 years at that point, 5 years of cancer, now this happens. Oh my goodness. It was on a Wednesday. And so as before service, I ran over to the hospital. I remember thinking, I've got to gear up for her. I've got to help her. I've got to be strong for her. And I went into her room and I just said, oh, I'm so sorry, Vivian. And she looked at me and she just said, get out of here. Are you kidding? And she just began to list off all the ways she saw God working through this. She was getting this real interesting treatment for her cancer at that time. It's where they take a cowpox virus or something and they attach to it part of the DNA from the cancer and then inject it into your body, and your body knows the cowpox is bad and figures out that's bad, looks at the DNA from the cancer, and then begins to attack the cancer in your body. It's real interesting. She was getting these procedures out in Maryland, and she said, because of this operation, that procedure is going to work that much better. She began to share how a coworker had come in and said that her old boss, a guy that doesn't believe, had said she was the greatest sermon he'd ever heard in her life. The way she lived, even in the midst of this valley. And she was just excited. And I got excited and I left there and came here on Wednesday night and I shared all about her. She was just this beacon of hope. But this time, September 18th, there's no hope. It was hopeless. It was terminal. And I knew what that took. I knew where that went. My mom went through the same thing just a year before. Terminal cancer. I knew the path she was going to go, so it was tough. I didn't necessarily want to climb up those stairs. I didn't necessarily want to go into that room. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what I could offer her. What hope is there? It's terminal. And so I went in and I sat down on her bed, and I remember just thinking, where does this conversation go? What can I say? And she let me off real easy. She looked at me and she just simply said, Matt, I haven't eaten in 8 days. I have terminal cancer and I'm going to die just like your mom. And so we begin to talk and we begin to share, and she began to just tell me things and share with me things that just blessed me. Deep things, spiritual things. She's a saint. And I asked her something I've never asked somebody before. I asked her something that I asked because of her sainthood, because of this struggle she's had for 5.5 years, because of the way she's handled it, because of her rock-solid faith in Jesus Christ no matter what valley she encountered. I asked her something I never asked a person before. I said, Vivian, if there was one thing, if there's one thing you could shout from the rooftops, if there's one thing you could share with this family at Edgewater Christian Fellowship, if there's one thing you could share with your family, if there's one thing you could share with Aaron and Neelan, your kids, if there was one last thing, what would it be? What would you want to say? And she looked at me and she said, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I want to think about that. I want to pray about that for a while. And so I prayed for her and I left. Talked to her on the phone a couple days after that. And she said, I'm still thinking about the question. I'm still wondering about that question. I'm still trying to figure out, what is it? What would I want to say? And I talked to her daughter, Erin, few days after that. She's still thinking about the question. She's still wondering about it. Then I went and visited her 10 days later, the 28th. And I came into her room this time, and it was amazing what 10 days had done to her, the toll it had taken on her. Before, she was just vibrant and alive and full of conversation and passionate, but now just 10 days later, things had changed. Our conversation was a word or two and then a lot of silence. And I thought to myself as I sat there, I guess we won't get the answer to the question. I guess it's not going to happen. And right when I was about ready to leave, she was falling asleep. I could always tell when she would fall asleep, her toes would stop moving. They were constantly moving when she was awake. And her breathing was rhythmic, and so I was about to just kiss her hand and let myself out when all of a sudden her grip on my hand tightened and her eyes opened. And she sat up in her bed and she had this fire in her eyes and she looked right at me and she said, Matt. And I said, yeah. And she said, Matt. I said, yes, Vivian. And she just said, eternity is so important. And her grip relaxed on my hand. And she fell back into her pillow and shut her eyes and went back to sleep. And I thought, wow, that's the answer. That's the hope. That's the deal. You did it again, Vivian. That's the hope we have. See, Paul would say, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, he would say, If in this life only we have a hope in Jesus Christ, we above all men are most miserable. If it's just about this life, then we're most miserable. Vivian died too young. The bumps in the road serve no purpose. If it's just about this life, Paul would say. But he would go on to say there in verses 53 and 54, he would say there's coming a time when mortality... Do you know the Bible actually refers to this life as mortality? We're dying, the Bible says. It's honest about it. That's where we're headed. We're all going to die. When this mortality, it says, when this mortality will be changed, exchanged for life. The Bible calls what happens when we move on real life. And then in verse 54 it says, then shall come to pass this saying, death has been swallowed up in victory. As believers, we win when we move from this realm to the next. Death, then, we don't see it now, we don't understand it now. Paul says then, there's a then that takes place when we move into that realm, when death is swallowed in victory. That's the hope. We win. Vivian, you are right. Eternity is so important. And after that conversation, I found myself going back to my study. And I found myself asking the Lord, if eternity is so important, how does that affect my today? How does that change how I live my life? If eternity is truly so important, how should that affect the way I live my life today? The way I raise my family? The way I interact with my kids? The way I think about and pray for this church family? If eternity is so important. If that's what's important, how is that supposed to affect my life? If this is a vapor, this life appears a short time and then disappears, and eternity is forever, how should that shape my life? Good question to ask. And specifically, I begin to pray about our future. Edgewater Christian Fellowship, the direction we're headed, what are we supposed to be doing? Because many of you know that the Three River School District, the board of it, not the employees, but the board has decided that, you know what, we're too big now for this facility. We've outgrown it, and they've asked us after this year to find somewhere else to meet. And they're probably right. We probably are too big. We are outgrowing this. The kids' wing is full, literally. And so they've asked us to move on. So I begin to pray, Lord, what are we to do? What is eternal? What is to be the eternal choice we make? And we as the elders and pastors have been discussing this and looking into this a bunch. Where are we to go? Where are we to meet in the future? We've looked at land. There appeared to be some land that was a possibility. It was county land, but in actually the city of Grants Pass, a big chunk of land. And because of the ONC fund thing, they needed some money, and so they were thinking about selling it. So that looked like a great possibility. But then the ONC funds came through, and they don't necessarily have the same emphasis to sell it anymore. That door seemed to close. Looked at a lot of land. We looked at going to RCC year-round. They're such wonderful hosts for us in the summer. I love it out there. It's my favorite season, the summertime. We're outside, it's beautiful, we're in the bowl, it's wonderful. Maybe we should go there full time, utilize something there. And so we met with them and discussed it, but it just doesn't seem like that is gelling. We thought about District 7, going into that district of our schools, Grants Pass High School, namely. I think that would be wonderful. Downtown, close, accessible to everybody. I love. That's my wish list, to be just in the downtown of Grants Pass where people that need it can just come right in, find us, no problem. I like that. And so we approached District 7, a certain committee there, and they just said, we're really heading another direction. We're trying not to sign up any more churches in our facilities. That door seemed to close. And I had my important list, and this is what I want, and this is how I think it should be done. I had my list. Of what's important. I've always had my lists of what is important. I had my list 2 years ago when we were looking at where we were to meet at as Edgewater Christian Fellowship. And I came to Fruitdale Elementary to see if it'd be possible to meet here. And it wasn't because I had a vision from God, meet at Fruitdale Elementary, or heard a voice out of heaven. There was none of that. No, you know, divine intervention. In fact, it was kind of selfish. The reason why we're meeting here is it's 3 minutes from my home. And I like that. That's important to me. There are things that are important to me. I like my comfort. I want my preferences. I have all these things. But I found myself saying, Lord, is that important to you? Is it important to you that it's only 3 minutes from my home? What's important to you? If eternity is what matters, then I want to make decisions in line with that. Not what's important to me. Not my preferences, not my comfort, not my deal. I want to look at life through a longer lens, as Paul is saying in Romans 8:18. Look at things a little longer, a little more future. Strip away what is not important to you from my lists. Give me your heart. What's going to be eternal? What's going to be kingdom-minded, not just church-minded? What's best for your kingdom? And so, I sent an email to the elders and the pastors a couple days later. And I said, you know what? I believe this is what we're to do. I still want a downtown presence, so I want us to buy something downtown. Small something. Because realistically, if you look at it, a church utilizes a big facility like this, utilizes it maybe 6-8 hours a week, that's it. Wednesday night, Sunday morning. So the majority of your money goes into building this big structure that's utilized really, really less than a day a week. The rest of the time, the church can easily fit into a couple office buildings. And so I thought, maybe there's a more eternal thing. Maybe there's a more eternal way we can look at it. And you know what? We've done a good job, I think, so far. Being eternal-minded. We sat in some uncomfortable chairs for 2 seasons in here. Perhaps you remember that. We've built, and I think this is really cool, we built 7 churches in India, bought the materials, bought the land, assisted in building 7 churches in India while we're still in a school. I think that's eternal. I think God's going to reward you guys greatly who were involved in that, in giving or going over there. There's great rewards for you. I think we've been eternal-minded. So, Lord, I want to be continual in this eternal-mindedness, if that is what is important. And so I said, let's buy a little facility in downtown so we have access, so people can find us. But then when we need a big facility, I said, let's start meeting at New Hope Christian School. Let's partner with them, that facility, those guys out there. And it was something that we had tossed around a bunch in that group, and I was a stick in the mud on it. And I thought, that's eternally minded. We can partner with that school. I believe because of what we're able to do, we can take that school to the next level. Not that they're not doing a great job, but finances are tight for them. The facility is all paid off. It's almost 30 acres out there. It's everything you could really want. Big facility, great, beautiful property. But they're just limited when it comes to funds. Well, that's something that I think we could assist them in. We can make the school better. At the same time, we can have a place for us to meet, a place for us to get together as well. They can use it when we're not using it. The other 6 days of the week. And so we contacted New Hope and asked them about that. And they got excited about that. And they said, absolutely, this is a great idea. And so we've been moving forward with that idea. Us joining with New Hope Christian School. And it looks like, you know, God can overrule anything. But it looks like at this time next year, we'll be holding our main services out at New Hope Christian School. An eternal mindedness. Not my comfort. Not my list, but Lord, is that what is best? And I believe, I'm convinced in my heart, that's what's best. Now, God can overrule at any point. There's rezoning that has to take place. There's all kinds of stuff that has to take place. And so I need your prayers. And I realize some of you will pray, Lord, shut that door. And God can. Revelation 3:7, He opens doors that no man can shut. And He shuts doors that no man can open. God's sovereign over it. Absolutely. But I also believe in a God that holds the heart of the king in His hand. And it's like water. He turns it whichever way He wants. If He wants us there, then no county, no government can keep us out. I believe in that just as well. And so, I believe being eternity-minded, if eternity is that important, that's the best choice for Edgewater Christian Fellowship. And I tell you what, I'm excited. Why? I'm excited because I see God's hand in it. June of this year, I felt like we had been slammed in the back. I felt like we had been rear-ended, bumped. I can't believe this. What? They don't want us in Fruitdale anymore? That didn't make sense to me. They're looking for funds. We're bringing in funds. We're helping them out in any way that we can. It just felt like we were rear-ended by that. What's the deal? That doesn't seem right. The assistance we've been able to give them, that just doesn't seem right. But then now as I see God's hand working, I'm seeing God in this and I'm thinking, this could be big. This could be great. And that excites me because when God's involved, it's exceedingly abundantly above what I could ask or think. That's the way God works. He surpasses my mind. His ways are above my ways. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so high are His ways above our ways. That's the way God does things. And so I'm excited about the vision, about the direction that we're headed. I believe it's an eternal direction. And it's something that I'm trying to begin to look at my life in a much greater light. Lord, let me look at life through a longer lens. Not just today. Not just my little kingdom. Not just my little thing. But really look at things from an eternal viewpoint. Not my comfort, necessarily. But to see Your kingdom come and Your will be done. That's what I want. And I believe that's what we're doing. So we're partnering with New Hope Christian School. This time next year, we'll probably be out there, Lord willing. But before we close, I have to ask this question. I have to ask this because eternity is so important. Do you know where you're headed for eternity? Do you know if you were on that bed where Vivian was at? Do you have the hope of heaven? Or when people start talking about heaven and start talking about eternity, do you get worried and you wonder and you're stressed out a little bit? I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen should that day come. Jesus spoke to a group of men that were worried. In John chapter 14, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in Me also. In My Father's house are many mansions. And I'm going there to prepare a place that where I am, you may be there also." See, God sent His Son to die in your place, to build you a mansion, and you can get all that by simply believing in Him, the Bible declares. It's that simple. And you can know, Jesus said, don't be worried. Don't be troubled when people talk about eternity, because I've prepared a place for you and I'm going to come and receive you to Myself. You can have assurance of where you're headed eternally. You believe in Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Him. It's that simple. There's not rules. There's not regulations to keep. There's not a form to sign. It's simply, Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus. And you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that God has raised Him from the dead. And you shall be saved. It's that simple. Believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth. If you're unsure of your eternity, today's your time to be sure. Today's your day to say, I'm headed to heaven. I know it because I've confessed it. I believed it. And I've accepted Jesus Christ. And He tells me, John chapter 14, I don't have to be worried anymore. If that's you, if you're worried about your eternity, God's been knocking on your heart, I want you to stand up right now. And I want you to walk up right here. Stand right here. And accept Jesus Christ. And have your eternity secured. Stand up. Come up here. But that's hard, Matt. I'm embarrassed. I don't really want to do that. I'll do it, you know, at some other point, some other time. The Bible says if you will declare me before men, I'll declare you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, I'm going to deny you before my Father. There's something about going on record and just saying, I don't care anymore. This is too important. Eternity is too important. I'm going to declare in front of all these people that I am a believer in Jesus Christ. God honors that. That's the decision to make. If you don't know where you are headed, this minute, stand up in your seat and come up here. Receive Jesus Christ. Be assured of your salvation. Know where you're headed. Join with Vivian in eternity. God's knocking on your heart. You guys that are in that back room back there, I can't see you, but God sees you. He knows what He's doing in your heart right now. Respond to that. That's all He asks you to do. Respond to it. And He'll take over. He'll forgive you. He'll wash you. He'll cleanse you. He'll make old things pass away and all things become new. That's the promise of God's Spirit. Eternity is so important. Vivian would say it again. If there's one thing she would say, it would say to each one of us, eternity is so important. Don't have a question mark over your eternity. That's no way to live. No. No. Do you know? Can you honestly say, I know where I'm going to spend eternity? I know it. I've been sealed with God's Spirit. He's bearing witness of that in my heart. I've confessed. I believed. I know. If not, the Bible says today is the day of salvation because we do not know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know if I'm going to get rear-ended in my truck and if I'm going to head to eternity right then. Nobody knows. So the Bible says today. Today. Father, I thank You for these that have come forward to declare to You that they believe in the work that Your Son did for them and the blood that was shed for them and the salvation that now has been guaranteed to them as they believe in their heart and confess with their mouth. Seal these, Lord, this day by Your Spirit, we pray. Keep them, Lord. We commit them this day as a body. We commit them to Your care, that You would be faithful to them, that You would wrap Your arms around them, that You would cleanse them this day, Lord. Ah, thank You for this. What a privilege to be part of Your kingdom, Lord. May we be eternally minded. May we not be short-sighted and myopic, but may we look at things through a longer lens, Lord. The eternal lens. Because that's what's important. Bless us, Lord. Give us an ability to look longer, Lord, this week, this month, for these lives. In Jesus' name, amen.